Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 on AJ and Dusty in the afternoons. Mike Yam, Pac-12 Radio on Sirius XM. He'll join us in about 12 minutes from now. Blazers got the Suns tonight. We'll talk about that. AJ McCord has got two big breakthroughs in her life.
Wow. Bringing that back.
I want to get to that. But we have to talk about our man George. George Kliavkov is the new commissioner of the Pac-12. Guy has, his resume is incredible. When you think of the things that Larry Scott told us he wanted to do with the Pac-12 conference and what George Kliavkov has actually done in his business record so far.
It's been impressive to see, just as you learn more and more about who this guy is, the proven record that he has as opposed to the ideas, I guess, that Larry Scott had.
And this is where I thought this was a pretty good portion of his introductory press conference today, but we're going to let you hear from George Kliavkov right now, who he talked about the successes of his career to this point. And it's, look, he pats himself on the back, but this has got to be music to Pac-12 fans' ears.
Third, I've been fortunate to lead teams that have driven growth in both revenue and profits in every job I have held. Just quickly, here are a few highlights from my career. My first job in sports was as one of the senior executives in the early days of establishing Major League Baseball Advanced Media. At MLBAM, I managed corporate and business development and baseball's media subscription and licensing business across all digital platforms. After MLB, I became NBC Universal's first Chief Digital Officer, setting NBC's corporate digital media strategy and developing new business models and markets. At NBC, we completed the then largest digital media event of all time with the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics by delivering 10 million hours of video to 52 million unique visitors in just 16 days. Also while at NBC, I partnered with our competitor, News Corp, to form a digital media distribution joint venture that became Hulu, which turned into a top 5 US video site within 6 months. I spent 7 years at Hearst Corporation, where I was responsible for overseeing Hearst's 50% stake in the A&E, Lifetime, and History cable networks, and a 20% stake in ESPN during a time when ESPN was negotiating very complex sports licensing deals and establishing both the SEC and ACC networks. In my current role at MGM Resorts International, I oversee one of the largest live events companies in the world and also look after MGM's sponsorship spend, sponsorship sales, and sports betting ventures. At MGM, I also had the privilege to oversee the Las Vegas Aces and to sit on the WNBA's board of governors. I'm a big proponent of women's sports.
So he's patting himself on the back a lot, but listen to that. Like all of the things that Larry Scott said he wanted to do, which was bring 12 schools together into one big network and then put it digitally and put it in a digital realm and establish and corner the market on the digital sports and college athletics. get wide distribution and work with networks and have a conference, work with a network and work with cable providers. He has literally done that from taking all 30 Major League Baseball franchises and putting them into one digital source, which is now, you know, he calls it MLBAM, MLB Advanced Media. That is the At-Bat app, which is one of the best streaming services of any professional sports league. Put the Beijing Olympics digital and online and coordinated that. Hulu, ever heard of it?
Time or two.
My goodness. And then he's talking about with Hearst Media and working with ESPN and working with major networks and this in working with providers as well in syndication. That is huge. And then he talks about MGM and his job at MGM, one of the world's largest event companies. That is something where, so he's putting on live events, coordinating that, coordinating the digital rights. Like this is, these are all the business things that we thought the Pac-12 was getting with Larry Scott.
Exactly. Now, it's very easy to win the introductory press conference.
Yes, it is.
That said, the guy starts on, what, July 1st?
Yeah.
So we'll see what he does. But I think if you're a Pac-12 fan, you have to be feeling about as good as you can be coming out of the first press conference with your brand new commissioner, just still a few months from football season.
I may be one of those people that doesn't, I don't wave the flag of the conference. I went to Washington State. I love my school, but I take my rivalries very seriously. So if UW or Oregon in big games, I don't root for them just based on our rivalries. This is the first time I can honestly say that I feel really great about the conference.
Yeah.
I haven't been that torchbearer. And now today I'm kind of like, all right, yeah, I'm in. Let's go, everybody.
Well, he's pulling in the same direction because there's a lot of things that, you know, forward thinking, you know, being in Vegas and MGM to and MGM Entertainment, BetMGM is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. That is a sports gambling part. And I thought right off the bat, Michael Schill talked about, you know, he has this ability to, not Schill, but Klyavkov, has the ability to see where the puck is going to go before it gets there, right? And he, right off the bat, mentioned name, image, and likeness, college football playoff expansion, and gambling.
Yep.
That is the future of college sports. I don't care whether you like it or believe it or not. That's where the sports are. That is where college athletics is going.
There's no debating that.
And as opposed to having the let's sit back and wait and see how it goes, he's saying, no, you've got to be on the forefront of it or you're going to get left behind. Mm. And that is an encouraging sign, is that it's not, you know, political speak of, hey, we'll see, not to ruffle any feathers. No, he's okay with putting it out there and saying, this is what we're going to do.
And especially with the college football playoff expansion, because he was talking about how there could be an announcement or a decision as early as June. And he was like, I recognize I don't start until July 1st. So what I wanted to do is come out here and leave no doubt we are in favor of college football playoff expansion. And I think, again, I the thing that most impressed me was that he was addressing the here and now, but he's clearly casting a vision for the future as well. That isn't just this pie in the sky. Here's what I want to do. Here's this dream. No, here's what needs to be done. Here's where we're going to start. And then here are the things that I'm looking at: sports betting, NIL, college football expansion. These things are on the horizon, and we're going to be a part of these conversations.
This is, we played this audio earlier, but it bears repeating. How is this conference going to be built under the new commissioner, George Klyavkov?
I want to be very clear about my top three immediate priorities for the conference. First, we will protect and support our student athletes. Second, we will make decisions to optimize revenue for our member institutions, including renegotiating our media distribution deals. And third, we will do everything we can at the conference level to make our teams more competitive in revenue-generating sports, especially football. To support all three of these priorities, I want to go on the record that the Pac-12 is in favor of both the expansion of the college football playoffs to more teams and the implementation of consistent guidelines for name, image, and likeness. We think that both CFP expansion and NIL legislation are good for college sports fans good for our student athletes, and can be a significant competitive advantage for the Pac-12.
That is neat.
I love hearing that from the commissioner of the Pac-12.
Yeah,
he's saying football isn't important. Football needs to be a priority. It isn't. I'm sorry. Every other sport that's out there, football is the driver of your conference and every other sport. And what I also appreciate what he's saying is that, look, he's a big proponent of women's sports. He managed the Las Vegas Aces of the WNBA.
Yep.
But he understands in college, the world of college athletics, you cannot be up with the Joneses like the SEC if you do not put a focus on football. Because you win on football, everything else gets paid for.
Exactly.
It's the way that business is right now.
Yep.
And the Pac-12 has got, they've got phenomenal ancillary sports without that full-on support of the football programs.
So imagine if football brings in more revenue and it benefits everybody. When the biggest piece of the pie gets bigger, it continues to benefit everybody else.
His head is in the right spot. He's seeing all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
How it's implemented, that is going to be the interesting one. The Pac-12 needs to get out of its own way because that's been the biggest problem in the past.
For sure.
Let's talk about it more with Mike Yam, Sirius XM, Pac-12 Radio, also working for the NFL Network. Yam joins us next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue. This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
We just played a bunch of clips from George Kliavkov, the new commissioner of the Pac-12. He'll take over July 1 for Larry Scott, signed a five-year deal today to become the next commissioner of the Pac-12. And to talk about it, a man who has been with the Pac-12 since day one. You know, when the Pac-12 Network launched, and now he's a host, Sirius XM Pac-12 Radio, and with the NFL Network, Mike Yam joins us. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great, guys. There's apparently a little news coming out of the conference. Why not on a May day, just randomly? Let's fire this up.
Oh, what was it? I'm just kidding.
Look, new conference commissioner, he comes in, he steps in, and, you know, AJ said it earlier. It's easy to win the press conference, but he did a pretty good job of kind of rewriting kind of the messaging of the Pac-12 so far. What did you think of his introductory press conference?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, guys, he needed to, and he made reference to it. This was not a name that was floated out there. John Wilner, who I know you guys probably mm-hmm. know pretty well and hopefully has been on the show with you guys yep. all over this for weeks and months. And there was a tweet that he put out before the announcement where he made reference to the fact that he had to quadruple check just because he thought someone was sort of pulling a fast one on him. And, you know, the reality is this is a guy that I think kind of came out a little bit of left field. But when you hear about his resume, I think there's clearly some things that his background says he can really do this job really well. So I will give kudos to the presidents at the Pac-12 schools for making this decision and finally coming to a decision. There's a couple things, though, and you mentioned messaging that I think are really important. Whoever got him ready for that press conference, he hit a lot of the touch points that have been a real issue over the last few years. I mean, I think it's some of the overt stuff where he made reference to the college football playoff and the expansion. That's something we've talked about on Pac-12 Radio a ton, almost to the point of nauseam, how this league needs to be the poster child of and wave that flag to why there needs to be more teams, more than just four teams in the playoff. Now, I think they were giving him that message point. I found it interesting that when he was pressed on it and was asked about what format he would like, he said he wasn't necessarily prepared to go into it. So to me, I think it's like, hey, I get it, guys. Mm-hmm. Football's really important. I'm going to say that we're going to put our emphasis on the revenue sports, and that's great, and it's awesome to hear that. I did hear a little bit about his media background, which I think is great because I think the league had to come up with something. There's a couple different paths here, right? It's the path of, hey, we're going to get a football guy who understands that sport and is going to elevate it to the point where it needs to be elevated. That's one path. And then there was the, hey, we need media rights. And that negotiation is really important. And what I find really interesting, Wilner, I missed it. I don't know if John had a separate conversation with him or I just missed it in the presser when I was listening to it. But I guess he had made reference to him being a part of the final negotiations, that he would be involved in that, but he thought it would be smart to hire a consultant. That's above my pay grade. I'm sure consultants are a part of that process no matter what. But that struck me as odd there, because I look at him as more of like the relationship guy with media entities and doing deals that he's done in the past, certainly with MLB and those types of things. So I found that fairly interesting. But clearly, I think he hit a lot of the touch points. And another subtle thing, and I'll shut up after this, it was less of a Larry thing, but more of a Mark Shukin thing about the dual residence, San Francisco to Los Angeles. The one statement that popped to me was, hey, we're relocating our family
yep.
to San Francisco and are going to be there. Now, Larry lived in the Bay Area. That was not an issue. But that was something that did resonate in those offices about Mark living really in Los Angeles full time. It came up in staff meetings. He had to address it, and that was something that he had worked out with Larry, and more power to him. Look, if your boss says you don't have to live, you can live where you want. Like, I'm not going to fault Mark on that situation, but that was an issue, I think, internally in that office.
And one of the things that he talked about, and you know more intimately than most, is just how big of a priority it is to get the Pac-12 network in more homes, to get more subscribers, to get it out on more platforms. How do you see him being able to advance not just the network, but expanding that to more of the digital space, more of like what he did with the MLB app and Hulu and things like that? What do you think he can do to make the Pac-12 easier to consume coast to coast?
Yeah. AJ, it's a great question. And hell, if someone had figured that out a while ago, you might be introducing me as Mike Ann from the Pac-12 Network instead of NFL Network right now and Sirius Radio. It has been a sleeping giant, the elephant in the room. For a few years, the distribution has been a problem. And you're right. I think that background that he does have on some of those other carriers, those third-party services, whether it's a Hulu and an Amazon Prime, I mean, guys, those things have been floated out for years. We've been hearing about the connection with, oh, Amazon's going to go and take the Pac-12, or it's going to be Apple, or it's going to be Facebook. I mean, they were still touting Facebook. I saw, you know, statements in the Sports Business Journal from leadership on the network side referencing Facebook being interested. And I wanted to say, like, guys, you got to get your notes together, because Facebook, like 3 months prior had said, or 6 months prior, said they weren't in the live sports right at that point. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, is this really a smokescreen? And I was, you know, I'm legitimately concerned because I want the place to do well. And I have a lot of friends that still work there. But look, there's some positive signs. The WNBA, Amazon strikes a deal with those guys. You know, I was talking to Coach Neuheisel about this, and Rick was with us at the network when we launched. And I said, you know, Rick, from your perspective, is it the money or is it the exposure? What's more important? And I had asked him that question a few months ago when I was filling in on his show on Sirius XM. And then I asked him again today with this news. And I don't think the answer necessarily wavered, but Rick was big on the exposure standpoint. I think I fall more on the money side, which maybe, I don't know. I say you can throw money at the problem, but you know, I just think about the gap in revenue that the Pac-12 yeah. has compared to some of those other leagues. And if you think about it as like your retirement fund, well, they say to start really early because the compounded interest is really important over time. And I think the compounded interest or just the revenue gap and the advantage that some of those other leagues have just compounds over time. So I think the Pac-12 it's vital that they go and they get a deal, another big deal. Now, on the flip side, you could say, well, Mike, they took the money on the initial deal in the first place. And you're right about that. The exposure has been an issue for the conference. And I don't know how to necessarily solve it, because, guys, if it's Amazon, if it's Apple, pick whatever service you want, how many people are going to consume that content? I get it. That's where the puck is going. And everyone likes that phrase and everyone gets that that's where you want to be. But we're not there right now. And there's a weird balance that this league has to strike with understanding, hey, when I'm on the East Coast visiting family, people are still calling it the Pac-10 and they're still not watching games that are happening out on the West Coast. So like that's an issue. That's a current issue right now. And then going and giving your rights to, you know, an Amazon or an Apple, I don't know if that necessarily solves that. But look, I don't want to think short term either. And I think that's, you know, and obviously new leadership now at the Pac-12, they're going to have to figure out the best approach. I wish I had a silver bullet and, you know, obviously, you know, could have been able to solve this years ago, but it's definitely a tough thing that they're going to have to solve.
We're talking with Mike Yam, SiriusXM Pac-12 Radio. One thing I loved that George Kolovkov was talking about at the very beginning of his introduction was he mentioned three things: name, image, and likeness, college football expansion, gambling. Like, he wasn't afraid to talk about the three big things that it seems like commissioners and people in college sports are afraid to talk about. Do you see those three things as the future of college sports?
Well, NIL is definitely one of the things that really can shape what we're looking at in this sport for really all, you know, sports at the collegiate level. I mean, that system, the transfer portal, those two things right off the top, I think we could be fast forward 5 years, 10 years, look at a very different collegiate model just based off of those two things. And the portal itself is really, I'd say even in the short term, guys, is really going to be an issue. You got all these kids that don't have places to go that are now in the portal that don't have full scholarships. I mean, that's such a huge, massive problem that I know that there's some discussion about, but I don't think people really fully understand the unintended consequences of the decision the NCAA made to allow this thing to happen. I get it. You almost felt like you needed to have it happen, but I just think even in the short term, it's going to be a disaster for a lot of college kids, which is really heartbreaking because from a football standpoint, guys, it's what 1.6% of college football players make it to the NFL. That's a lot of kids who now had a scholarship who aren't going to be playing, and we can celebrate the success stories on the transfers. The reality is it's way more kids who don't have that successful transition to their new school. So I would say NIL, the transfer portal, certainly comes to mind. And look, the legalization of gambling. And look, you get a guy from Vegas who certainly understands that probably better than most. How do you capitalize on some of those things? There was, you know, guys, might have been my third year at the network, something along those lines. There were sponsors from, and I don't quote me on this, although I know I'm on radio, but I don't remember the exact company. I'm just making this up. Might have been, you know, FanDuel or DraftKings, one of those types of companies that wanted to come in and do some deals. And because of that gray area between the amateur aspect of this and gambling, you know, that just, those things never materialized. So now as the perception of sports betting is really changing in our country, I'm wondering how much of a factor that's going to be now moving forward.
And the thing that impressed me the most, I guess, with those two things, we've talked ad nauseum about NIL and the NCAA and all the ways that it's been really the anchor, if you will, for this legislation. Instead of coming out and saying, hey, NIL is coming and here's how we're going to harness its power, here's the rules that we're going to make, the NCAA has just kicked the can down the road for a decade.
Oh, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, I guess we'll wait for the Supreme Court, but also maybe we'll start July 1st. I feel like it's so impressive. Or how big of a deal do you think it has been, I guess, for him to come out here and say, not only are we recognizing that this is the future, but we as a conference are going to be the ones headlining where this goes.
Yeah, I think it's huge because we're even seeing different, you know, factions around the country and different states trying to handle it a little bit differently, which is, you know, I think a recipe for disaster. So I do think it's definitely a good deal. And the league, in a lot of ways, guys, and I'll say this even about Larry Scott, and there obviously has been some issues in terms of, you know, some of the decisions that were made, and we can Monday morning quarterback it, you know, till we're blue in the face. But Larry, for all the faults that he did have, there was a lot of initiatives that the league took place with him at the helm where the Pac-12 was at the forefront. You know, mental health is certainly one of those things that really stands out, and some of the initiatives around that, student athletes and some of the benefits that they get that weren't necessarily happening in other conferences, that was happening in the Pac-12. So I do applaud the conference from that perspective. But you're right, AJ. When I look at some of the things that are happening on the West Coast, you sort of have to be ahead of the game because from a financial standpoint, there are issues. From a winning standpoint, he made reference to it. You know, the strength of this conference And I agree with that response. I mean, I don't know if you knew that question was coming or not, but it was a good answer. It was, hey, this league is filled with just awesome, tremendous academic institutions, but they haven't won in football and they haven't won in basketball in a really long time outside of what Stanford did on the women's side. Men's basketball hasn't won, and college football is, what, 2-7 in terms of playoff appearances. So that's not good, and that's not good enough to get it done. So this league has to not only improve that aspect of it, but I think needs to make sure that they're able to keep a lot of the best talent on the West Coast on the West Coast. And that's been a massive issue, I think. You know, and you guys are close to that Oregon program. Like, Cristobal has done a tremendous job dipping into Southern California and getting guys nationally. Those classes have been great that he's been able to put together, but that's kind of an outlier the last couple of years for this league. They are losing a ton of talent to other teams and other conferences, and that's got to stop.
Mike Yam, when you can't hear him on Sirius XM and the Pac-12 radio, you can see him on NFL Network. You're now stalking Mike Lynch, or not Mike Lynch, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan now at Levi's Stadium.
I was there yesterday for the schedule release. It was definitely fun. I poked into some offices that I wasn't supposed to be in, and I was ready to just kind of, like, you know, shake hands and kiss some babies, but that didn't go down. Obviously, it's still a vaccination site, by the way, and I had my mask on the entire time except when I was on air.
That's awesome. Awesome coverage on the draft and schedule release yesterday. It's comforting having you back on our TVs with the NFL Network, Mike.
I really appreciate that. It's been a wild, rough year up and down for everyone, and I am so grateful. Like, you have no idea how grateful I am for the opportunities that I'm getting at NFL Network and Sirius Radio. But it's awesome to be with you guys and even to have that connection with the league, because I do miss it. You know, I know it was said earlier, but there's really so many great people in this conference, and to develop those relationships with everyone has just been, it's been great, and I miss it. And hopefully at some point I'll be able to get back onto some of these campuses, at least from the NFL perspective. I got UW and Stanford for their pro days. I campaigned a little bit for the Oregon one, but I didn't get it.
Well, Mike, we should do it again sometime soon. We really appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you.
Anytime you guys need me. Stay healthy, okay?
You too. Mike Yam, NFL Network, Sirius XM, Pac-12 Radio. He was inside the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean, worked for the Pac-12 Network, the conference-owned network. And this conference has its warts. And George Kliavkov has got work cut out for him.
Yes, he does.
It ain't going to be easy. But at least he's going the complete opposite direction of Larry Scott, which is what every Pac-12 fan wants to hear.
There you go.
I love it. I just love to see it.
I just love that Yam almost basically admitted, like, dang it, I should have stayed at the Pac-12.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't his choice.
I mean it as fun.
He's,
like,
the best.
Ah, dang it.
He's the best and the nicest guy.
Yeah. Oh, ever. He's the nicest. Nice. I met him when the Ducks played the Utes a few years ago down in Levi's Stadium.
Oh.
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
That's funny.
My cousin Vinny.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Blazers can actually prove something tonight. They can legitimately prove it tonight.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, Blazers can actually Willie Taggart this and do something tonight. Poke him with a stick. That guy.
The second best reference I've heard today.
My gosh. A lot of hockey references.
So many.
Yeah.
Is that the new buzzword?
We heard Michael Schill, the University of Oregon president, he in the introductory press conference for George...
Stop overthinking.
Kliavkov.
Kliavkov.
For George Kliavkov said he sees the puck and anticipates where the puck's going to go.
I think that was it.
Mike Yam dropped a know where the puck's going to.
I just don't understand.
Well, you need to become a hockey gal.
I like hockey.
I'm a hockey guy, too.
I just don't hear it in everyday vernacular.
Not a hockey guy. Yeah, it's like the new buzzword, I think. I think corporate America is going to, it's starting, like, see where the puck is going is the new one.
Why?
Because we've moved the goalposts a lot. We've got through the new normal. What else have we had here?
We've taken things offline.
Yeah, that's right. We've done all of these things.
We've reset the room.
Now we just got to see where the puck's going next, you know?
It's such a...
Okay. I don't know. I'm here for it.
All right.
Well, the Blazers can prove something tonight. They've got the Phoenix Suns, which is the second best team in the Western Conference. And the Blazers' struggles against teams that are above them in the standings have been noted time and time again. They got a win last night against the number one team in the West, the Utah Jazz, without Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley. That needs to be noted. Yes. Those guys are gone. But the Blazers are healthy when other teams aren't. Also needs to be noted. But what the Blazers can do is beat a good team that is healthy right now. And that is important because that's something this team has not done all year long.
It's very true.
And do it on the road.
And do it on the road. And do it on the second of a back-to-back.
Yes.
And it is important that... So I'm going to pull up the box scores from the previous two games against the Suns. So the last one was March 11th, 2 months ago.
Yep.
They lost by 6.
Wait, March 11th. Wow. That was 2 months ago.
Oh, I was like, did I say that wrong? You're just shocked. I know. Time flies when you're having fun, Dusty.
Sure does.
So the Blazers were without, in that game, Yusuf Nurkic, CJ McCollum, and had not traded for Norman Powell yet.
That seems significant.
And they only lost by 6.
Yeah. All right.
So that was when your starting lineup was Dame, Gary, Rocco, Enes, and DJ.
Ooh.
So 0-2 against the Suns this year, but 132-100. I put out that audio that we had earlier of Yusuf Nurkic, and I put that on Twitter where, you know, all good things go to die.
Yeah.
And
it's a very thoughtful place.
Someone commented on there, hey, these numbers don't mean anything because remember in 2019 against Oklahoma City, regular season, they were 3-1. Well, 1-3 if you're the Blazers' perspective. Nuggets, same thing. And they beat both of those teams. So when Nurk is saying that, I think that's what he means, is the regular season matchups don't mean the same thing because this is not the same team.
That is true and is correct.
So that said, this is a prove-it game.
Yeah.
This is a prove-it game against the second-best team in the West who is fully healthy. Maybe we'll have one soreness. DeAndre Ayton has some knee soreness.
If he's out there, you can't downgrade whatever performance the Suns have because if he's out there, he's good enough to go. This game's important for both sides too.
Yeah, because the Suns are what, a game and a half?
That's right.
Behind the Jazz, and the Blazers can clinch a playoff spot, avoid the dreaded play-in tournament next week with the W. They need no help from nobody, which is a good thing because the Lakers are not about to offer it.
That's right, because we talked about this before. Heading into this final four-game stretch, 3-1 was the magic number.
Mm-hmm.
3-1, that was the number. They 2-0 right now.
There you have it.
And what a great spot it would be in to, you know, have that final game of the year be either, hey, we're going to have the 4-5 matchup. We can gun for it and we can go get it and get that 5 seed and play these Nuggets again in a playoff series and play them, I don't know, like 8 games in a row. Or have nothing on the line and give some guys some rest.
Wouldn't it be funny if even though, like, maybe the 4-5's already decided and the Nuggets and the Blazers are already playing each other, and that would just be very interesting to see how both coaches play that regular season finale.
That would be the CJ Ellaby game.
That's what I would do. I'll tell you that much.
TJ Leaf.
Yep.
Ellaby, get out there. Just let her rip you.
Rondae Hollis Jefferson.
I'll watch CJ Ellaby all day, baby.
Yep. And see your little out for the Blazers tonight, back spasms. So wishing him a very speedy recovery.
Dang. Hate the back spasms. All right. big night up in Seattle. Did you know this?
Oh, I did know this. We're talking baseball.
Did you know this?
Took me a second.
Yeah.
I'm up on it with the baseball.
We'll also get you some of your final thoughts on George Kliavkov.
You're so close.
What is it? Kliavkov?
I know you said it with hesitation.
No. George Kliavkov, the new commissioner of the Pac-12 and Blazer stuff as well. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Want to hear? Listen all you want to thousands of select originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Sign up for a free Audible Plus trial at audible.com.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
big, big night up in Seattle as a couple of debuts for the Seattle Mariners, Jared Kelenic and Logan Gilbert making their big league debuts. Gilbert righty on the hill, and Kelenic one of the top prospects in all of baseball. Optimism for the Mariners.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Remember when Kevin Mather made all those comments about how they were going to keep him down in minor league until they could secure their contract and all that jazz?
Yeah,
so does the timing check out?
Yep.
Okay.
Math checks out.
Okay.
Math checks
so
out.
So they're bringing them up now because it behooves the club to have kept them down in AAA.
Yeah, it happens all... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I just wanted to make sure.
So skeezy.
Yeah, I just want to make
sure. Well, and then remember, right. Kelenic is the guy who said he felt like the Mariners organization was punishing him because he didn't sign the contract extension last year where they tried to lowball him. Before he even got to the bigs.
Okay.
Bet on himself.
Cool. Yep. Which, hey, good for him. And you know what? I don't blame the Mariners. The Mariners tried to give the guy an extension that was pretty reasonable for a guy who's never played in the big leagues and guarantee him money. And if the guy's going to take it, then sure. But hell, I love it when you bet on yourself and go for broke, baby.
Mike Lynch and I talked about this last night on the Hot Corner and every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. And someone texted on the text line that was kind of really into Kelenic and said that they kind of compared him a lot to Bryce Harper in the sense that he's kind of arrogant and some teammates are kind of turned off by it, but he delivers and he can play ball. So maybe that's part of turning down that contract, you know, the truly betting on yourself, I'm bomb, you're not.
Well, you know what? If you've been told your whole life that you're awesome, you're probably going to think you're awesome.
Probably.
It's a struggle I deal with every day, Dusty.
Mm. So we need to knock you down a peg.
No, it's the other people I tell that are awesome. It's not me. It's not me.
LOL.
Blazers tonight.
Big game.
Phoenix.
TNT.
They can prove it. Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
A little TNT action.
I love when it's a late game on TNT.
And oh, by the way, the game on... Sunday set for 6 o'clock in that game moved up to 6 o'clock. That is not going to be nationally televised, right? They're just keeping that one on NBC. They just moved up the game, the tip time.
Yeah, that's on NBC Sports.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for the Blazers and their schedule. Hey, look, we had two really good interviews, I thought.
I concur.
Nick DiPaola of the Boardroom. And the Sneaker Game,
yes.
ESPN.com writer.
Yes.
You should think that they are good interviews because both of our guests today said that's a really good question on questions you asked.
It's always nice.
Yeah.
It's always nice.
So Nick DiPaola, the Boardrooms, the Sneaker Game, and ESPN.com. He joined us at 1:15. And then we had Mike Yam of the Pac-12 radio show on Sirius XM, also with the NFL Network. Where he follows the San Francisco 49ers on draft day, schedule release, we're going up to pro days and all that stuff. We talked about the Pac-12's new commissioner, George Kliavkov.
Nailed it.
Yeah. 5-year deal that he just signed. He's an interesting guy with an interesting background. There are some questions that I have about not working in college sports and knowing the bureaucracy of college athletics, because that is real.
Yes.
In working your way around college campuses and around these university presidents, but the dude's business acumen is Larry Scott on steroids.
Yep.
He has done all of the things that Scott wanted to do and said he envisioned. He's actually done them and put them into practice in his previous stops.
Yeah. It's been impressive. It's a good day if you're a Pac-12 fan. A lot of optimism. A lot of optimism if you're a Blazer fan, too.
Yeah.
Coming off the win over the Jazz, got the Suns tonight in fifth place in the West. We'll see.
Controlling their own destiny.
Controlling your own destiny.
All right. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday from noon to 3. Up next, you got Primetime with Isaac and Souk. How about that?
That's
they
fun.
Got you from 3 till 7. All right. Pac-12 and new leadership. Let's go.
Love to see it.
All right. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here with AAA Heating and Cooling.
Charles Ray here, also with AAA Heating.